I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a quadruple threat before my eyes. We got the writer, the comedian, the host, the actress, ladies and gentlemen, Callie Scott.
Thank you. That was dope. I feel like I'd give myself
Hey, pat yourself on the back, man. You worked hard to get where you at, man. Congrats on everything.
Thank you so much.
So, yeah. So, thank you for coming to the platform. You know, today you're definitely contributing to my dream. And I just want to say thank you for that.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
No doubt, man. So, the concept behind this show is getting insider information for those looking to be in your position. So, you as a, you know, multi-powerhouse, you know what I'm saying? I want to know, you know, the entrepreneurial mindset that you have to obtain these titles and how to maintain. But let's start from the beginning. Where are you from?
I'm actually from Southern California, but I'm not from like LA. I'm from the suburbs. I'm from Corona.
That's good. You better rep those suburbs.
Yeah, I do. I love Corona. Corona is the bomb. Like of the suburbs, it's the best suburbs you can be from.
Okay. That's what's up. Okay. So did you always have a love for entertainment even as a child? Like,
I did. I remember growing up and watching like the Cosby Show and watching like kids on like, you know, Family Matters and stuff like that and thinking like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that they live like a regular life and they get to do like TV stuff. I thought that was dope, but I didn't think I was like gonna do it. I just thought like it was really cool.
Yeah.
It took me like some time to even really like, I did sports like at first. I did sports forever. I did softball.
Okay.
I tried like basketball, soccer. Soccer is the worst.
Yeah, but it's good on the legs though.
That's probably why cardio. I didn't like it.
Get that cardio popping.
Well, I like softball. You stand still a lot. Yeah.
Got it.
But I did sports for a long time. And then when I was in high school, I tried drama. Loved it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I had, I got pregnant at 17.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Okay. I had my daughter at 18. And I was like, yo,
congrats.
I gotta make money. Oh, thank you.
That's what's up.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's really cool. But yeah, like, I don't know. Being a young parent, I thought like, I gotta make money like now. Mm. And so like, I tried like everything. I went to school for like culinary. I went to school to like do hair. Like I wanted to be a coach at some point, and I was just trying to do anything to like hurry up and put money in my pockets. But you'd be sad when you're trying to do something that you don't love, when you're just doing some stuff for the money. Like, I mean, if you're a creative person, it just like crushes your soul.
Yeah, absolutely. You feel like you're sacrificing your happiness.
Definitely.
You know, just to get a check. But at the same time, your situation is a bit different. I mean, you stepped into motherhood, you know, at 17, 18, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you kind of had to figure it out at an early age, whereas, you know, some people, you know, are still growing up at that age. You know, I'm curious, you know, how did your, you know, parents take the news?
That
I was pregnant.
My mom was surprisingly super supportive.
Okay.
Like, she was way more with it than I was. I was like, man.
Yeah.
My dad, it was rough. It was really rough. But they are obsessed with my daughter.
That's cool.
Like, they don't even like me that much.
Your daughter took all the shine.
She did, which is good. They love my daughter. She's amazing. I have the best child for what I do. I couldn't have asked for a more understanding kid. Like, she is one of those people who's like, you know, she believes in my dreams and goals. And so when I tell her like, yo, I'm gonna be gone because I have to go and work really hard, but I'm doing this so that we could be on a yacht.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she's like, yeah, cool. So when she sees me sleeping, she's like, don't you have a show today?
That's cool.
She's dope. She's like my partner in crime.
Are your parents supportive of your dream?
They are.
Okay.
I didn't think they were going to be.
Mm.
I actually didn't tell them that I wanted to be acting or anything like that. The first time I really told them that I wanted to pursue it, I got started doing acting through church.
Okay.
The church, yeah. somebody at church was just like, hey, we need people to do plays. Do you act? And I was like, yeah. Mm. And from there, I was in like every single play for like the next 2 years. Mm. And my dad saw me in the first play and he was like, I could see you doing like a Tyler Perry play, or like I could see you like doing a movie and stuff like that. And it was the first time he really like gave me like a believer. Yeah, like he gave me like a compliment that made me feel like validated. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and that's like I feel like that's what set off like the seed, like go back to what you love to do, you know?
Right.
Like, and it started everything. Getting that validation. Like, it wasn't like he said, like, yeah, go chase it, you know? Yeah. He was just like, man, like, I could see you really doing it. Made me like, okay, I'm gonna try it. But I was still trying, super small.
Nah, that's what's up, man. Did you ever share that conversation with him? Like, you know, your validation, you know, gave me the motivation I needed?
No.
Nah?
I didn't. I probably,
Because it sounded like it did, you know, as well as with, you know, you having this child at an early age kind of gave you the motivation you need at the time that you needed it. Because who knows, if you didn't have a kid, you probably would have still kind of, not saying you were taking life as a joke, but sometimes, you know, children at that age, they're still just growing up, still figuring it out. But now it's like, it ain't no choice for you at that moment.
Yeah.
You gotta make it work.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't, like, motivated to do anything at that age. I didn't know if I wanted to go. Before I had my daughter, I didn't know if I wanted to go to college. I didn't know where I wanted to go. My parents were trying to get me to look at schools, and I just wasn't very interested in any of it. Like, I wasn't interested in really pursuing acting. Like, I knew I liked it, but I don't know. I didn't really want to do nothing. I was just floating.
Yeah.
So, you're right. Like, having my daughter, it really did put some fire under me to figure out something.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do nothing.
Right. So tell me about, you know, your experience with the social media grind, you know, because I see you out there, you know, filming a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of skits with the homie cast. I see you out there. And, yeah, man. So how's that grind been for you? You know, and how do you plan to, like, monetize that?
Well, social media, it's a great tool. It's dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. Mm. But it's dope. I really have been able to collaborate with, like, really, really big content creators who are, you know, going beyond just YouTube, and they're really, like, getting into, like, creating, like, you know, TV shows and movies and things like that, and being able to be around people who are great with, like, helping me develop and grow, and you know, don't mind, like, taking, like, a minute to, like, help me figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. But as long as, I'll say they'll help you as long as you're doing what you're doing. Like,
right, playing your part.
Yeah, we're not going to stop and take time if people not doing nothing.
Right.
Like, everybody's busy. This grind is your own boss. And so if you don't eat that week, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Like, but it's dope. You get to be around people who are really inspirational, really inspired, and really, like, you know, motivated, and that keeps you motivated. When you see somebody else and, you know, y'all like the same age and y'all, you know, got the same resources at your fingertips, you know that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to reassure you that, you know, you're doing the right thing. Social media is crazy.
I'm telling you.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, you know, I mean, I say if you're not motivated, but I guess heading in a clear direction, clear path, and you know, like, how you want to present yourself on social media, you stay within those guidelines, and you'll be all right. You'll kind of weed out anything that will distract you or, you know, become a roadblock for you. It wouldn't even be a factor because you're so driven and directed in one direction.
I mean, it's easy to get caught up because there's always events, there's always parties, there's always, you know, networking events, and sometimes things that other people call networking really aren't networking.
Like what?
It's just partying. Like, you know, there's stuff that you should be doing. Like, if there's like a viewing party, you should go to that. Mm. If you're a writer, if you're a performer, you want to be in a room where the writers and performers are.
Mm.
But, you know, if somebody's just hosting a day party,
that's not
you don't need to go. Yeah, but sometimes people feel like, oh, I want to go because I want to be seen. Well, you could be writing, you could be filming, you could be editing. You have other stuff that you can be doing. Now, I know y'all might have seen me at a couple of day parties, but I know the people that was throwing the party, so technically I was really working.
Right.
And also, you need a day off.
I mean, I get that, because there's some situations that I attend where it's like, I know the way I am, I'm coming to network, even if it's not a networking event. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to meet somebody. I'm going to link up with somebody. You know what I'm saying? So I take advantage of those, but I'm not at those events all the time. You know what I'm saying? Because it may lead to other things, you know. And plus, I'm in a relationship, so I kind of like, you know what I'm saying?
Hollywood, yeah. Hollywood, okay?
I mean, shit, yeah. Well, I came to Hollywood in a relationship. I didn't find one in Hollywood.
And y'all still make, that's dope.
I mean, we got no choice. You know, this is what it is.
That's amazing.
Why, you find it difficult to date in Hollywood?
What? I am alone.
Oh no, you got your life, you got your kid, you got family, you know what I'm saying? Trust me, man, but you need to count the blessings, not the problem.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly at a place where I'm like now starting to accept being single. It works for me right now. You know, I don't want to ask anybody to accept 5% of my attention. Because that's really all I got for you. And it's really not even a whole 5%. Like, I got a lot of stuff to do. So, you know, me and you dating, that's cool. But I'm going to have to edit this video while we're on a date. Yeah. Or, like, you know, I'm thinking of, like, concepts for, like, my stand-up while we're talking. Like, I'm constantly in work mode.
So, why do you think there's that stigma about, like, dating in Hollywood is, like, impossible? Why do you think that is?
I think it's because Hollywood is seen as like the place of glitz and glam and opportunity. And if you are around somebody whose heart isn't solid, they're always looking for another opportunity. And sometimes people try to find opportunities within relationships. And, you know, oh, well, if you date this director, then you can be in these movies. Or, you know, if you date this girl, she can help getting you into casting. And, you know, sometimes dating in Hollywood is more of a work relationship than it is like an actual real relationship. And your relationship is going to be tested every day. It's fine people walking around all the time with loose morals, with loose terrible morals. It's hard to really, you got to have a great understanding partner who's going to really do the work. So that, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I mean, you know, we're kind of like opposites, so to speak, because she's not in entertainment, you know what I'm saying? Me, I'm in entertainment, you know, and shit, all I could do is, you know, keep my word, you know, to her, you know what I'm saying? And stay humble, stay faithful, and that's it, you know, that's the goal.
That's
hard. Plus, it's like, you know, for what, how can I say this, like, I'm a different kind of breed. I ain't from Hollywood, you know, so I'm originally from New York, from the East Coast, you know what I'm saying? And I just got different, like, standards and values and morals when it comes to just people. Like, if you my homie, like, I'm loyal to you, you know what I'm saying, to the end, you know. So, in a relationship, it's the same deal. Like, like we got a bond, so that's what it is. I'm going to keep it 100 with you, and that's it, you know what I'm saying? So, ain't nothing, I can't fuck that up. And plus, you know, it's like, the history we got is like, to fuck that up over some pussy, it's not going to happen.
I'd rather beat my dick. That is amazing. You could you make a group of friends? If you could just have a solid group of friends with the same moral compass, that would be great. It was out here be like, well, you know, it was just physical cheating. It wasn't emotional. I ain't even care about her like that. So it don't even count, shorty, why you tripping?
That's not like Tyrese and Baby Boy. I fuck other women, but I love you. I don't know, but
so
I just
LA.
Do.
It's so LA.
I get it. Well, you know, there's somebody there for everybody, man. You'll figure it out. Maybe it ain't the time for you, man. Maybe it sounds like, you know, you need to, you know, really master your craft and get to that point where you got that Netflix special and then you worry about all that extra shit.
You sound like my mama.
I'm saying, yeah, man, listen, it's the truth, eh? You know, it's the truth. Because at the end of the day, it's like you said, you get a relationship, you're giving him 5%. Well, you think his 95% that he got gonna go, you know, exactly, to somebody else who's giving him 100.
That's true.
You know, but you'll be all right, man. So let's talk about stand-up comedy. You know, tell me about, you know, when you felt like, who are some of your influences when it comes to comedy?
Honestly, stand-up has been crazy because I got into stand-up from doing comedy sketches. I was doing sketches with so many comedians, and they were telling me, like, yo, you're funny. Like, you're naturally funny. Like, you should try it. I'm like, nah, like, shut up. It sounds like you're trying to set me up. But, like, when I tried it, I was like, man, I really do enjoy it. And so I kind of learned comedy in reverse. I did it first, and then I took the time to learn it. And so, like, a lot of my influences are the people that I've been around. A lot of people like Takara Williams, Clayton Thomas.
Clayton, I know that.
Tony Baker, like a lot of people who are like still in LA doing comedy here, are like integral to how I think about comedy. But then, you know, there's always like people like Jim Carrey on TV, who I think is like one of the most phenomenal creative minds, period. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just like a mixture of growing up and seeing like TV, and then like thinking like those people are hella funny. But then also seeing stand-up comedians out here and being able to like learn firsthand from like standing in the comedy clubs. Mm-hmm. Like that's been a crazy experience. And I've had to do my research and learn like, you know, about like, you know, the OGs of the game. Mm-hmm. But like really when it comes down to it, like being on the ground and being around like real comedians has been insane.
Who are some of the OGs in comedy that you look up to? Top five.
Oh, man, a whole five? Just a whole five. I don't even think I'm... Okay. OGs. I think Patrice O'Neal, which is, if you haven't heard about him, you need to go and look him up. Mm-hmm. One of the most phenomenal to do it. I think... I mean, Dave Chappelle is really popular right now, and you can't beat that. The man is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Top five, man. I'm gonna look
at you. If you want a top three, you can get a top three.
Stand up comedian, y'all gonna look at me all funny because I don't even have a top five. Like, I just appreciate the art of comedy.
That's cool. Yeah. I got a top five.
You do?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, Jamie Foxx.
Are we saying off of stand up or comedians?
No, stand up. You never seen Jamie Foxx?
I've seen it.
Okay, so yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Okay.
All right. I would have it. I like Bill Burr. Bill Burr's funny. And my fifth, I would have to say, like, my mind is telling me to say Richard Pryor, but I don't want to say it because it's like I wasn't a big fan, but he was really funny. I like Paul Mooney.
I do. I very much do. That's a really great one to have me talk.
Yeah. And plus, he used to write for Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy. Right? You could write for two bad motherfuckers. You a bad motherfucker.
I mean, the way that he delivers his comedy is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be able to have a personality that's so just like, matter of fact, I'm like, none of y'all niggas. But yeah, listen, it's insane. Like, that's so cool to have people receptive to it. That's dope. But that's a good top five. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have Jamie Foxx in my top five as a stand-up artist. I know as a comedian, I think he's phenomenal.
Well, I know he's been out the stand-up world for a minute, but when I go back to that, I might need security. There's not a lot of other stand-up comedians or just comedy specials that could stand head-to-head with that one.
Okay, well, I gotta do my research. I need to
You never seen that?
I need to see it recently. You know what I mean?
Oh, you just see it again now.
As a comedian, I need to see it now.
Yeah, you gotta watch that again. That joint is hilarious. I can watch that all the time.
Now, Kevin Hart didn't make your top five.
Kevin Hart, I like Kevin Hart, but how can I say? I don't. I do like Kevin Hart. I do like Kevin Hart. It's just we were talking about OGs for one.
Okay.
And number two. I mean, you know, Kevin Hart is funny. He's like got that silly humor, you know, which is cool. It's not for everybody, but I don't know. I don't know. You know, like I said, he's in my top 10.
Okay.
He's in my top 10, not top five. All right. No disrespect to Kevin, you know what I'm saying? Salute to, I wish you much success and a speedy recovery. You know what I'm saying? You know, just my personal opinion. But he is talented. I'd love to work with him. Need you in that seat one day, my brother. But yeah, but no, that's what it is. Okay. So, tell me about some acting roles. I mean, have you had any acting success here, or are you just focused strictly on comedy?
Let me tell you how my daughter humbled me. I thought I was doing a little something. I did background for a year, and I've been in like a couple movies, done a couple TV shows. But I didn't do any speaking roles. And so I would be like, come home all excited, like, yo, like, you know, this air, like, I'm in this. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was like, do you talk in this? None of your friends, mamas, are on anything. Yeah. Like, she did not care at all. Super humble. So I really made the decision that, like, you know, I felt like my talent wasn't being used to the best of its abilities. So I stepped down from doing that. And I'm looking to audition for things like that now. I've just been so caught up in, like, writing and and producing and like pushing out my own content that I really haven't had a chance to really focus on auditioning. Like, I can't wait to do some auditioning because I've done theater for like 10 years.
So right now it's just comedy for you with skits and stand-up.
It's skits and stand-up. And hosting has been a lot too. So yeah, I've been...
Now, do you host for real? Because like nowadays, like this new generation... They just say, like, when it comes to hosting, you know, they just in there. Like, they ain't on the mic. They just got they in there for their little bottle, and they bring the section, and they just chilling and be on the velvet rope. They ain't really interacting with the crowd. Like, back in the day, I sound like an old head. Like, back in my day. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when the host used to come through, the host used to get on the mic and be like, yo, we are here. We coming up. Da, 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 da. You know what I'm saying? We in the act like we all in the same room, not just in the corner looking cool.
Yeah. No, you know what? I think that style of hosting came from the social media generation, because if you got 250,000 followers, then I know you can bring people out. And so I'm going to just slap your face on the flyer. It's a great marketing strategy. But it does take away from the title of host. I'm like an OG host. Like, I'm on the mic all night. I need a schedule of what you got going on, who needs to be introduce me to whoever's going to be, you know, doing whatever at the event. My first hosting gig was my mom's 50th birthday celebration. Hey. First of all, my family is super talented, so everybody was upset that nobody else could host. You ever had to tell your uncle, like, no, I'm doing this? Like, that was like the first time I realized, like, I must really love this.
Right.
Like, I must really, really love entertaining, because I just told my uncle no.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I almost got cussed out.
Ooh, chill, unk.
But he offered guidance, so it was all good. But yeah, when I host, I'm like, yo, I want to MC. Like, I want to be with the DJ. I want to, you know, talk to the crowd. Like, if y'all got games, if you got, you know, any special artists coming out, I want to, you know, shout out your people that are here. Talk to the people about bottle specials. Whatever you got going on, I want to be working. Mm. I mean, I'll take the check for just showing up. I will.
Yeah,
but I the way that I love to be around people that came out for you, came out for me, you're gonna get some of me in this event. Like,
yeah.
I can't just sit back here and just be acting all Hollywood behind this rope. I don't even really, like, honestly, I'm not really like a VIP kind of person. Like, I'll do it, say what's up, hey everybody, but then I want to meet with the people.
Yeah,
what I'm saying? Like, I got host.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the 5-year goal for you?
5-year goal for me.
Personal and professional.
I don't really... Personal, I just want to be a better person. Okay? Like, I want to be able to manage my time a little bit better and get some rest and spend time with my family and love on them. And really, it coincides with my professional goals. Because my professional goals is just really that I want to be on, like, an autopilot so that I can start creating and really just living in that space. I want a team, so that I can more efficiently and effectively get, you know, my goals and things done. Like, I want to be, I'm writing right now like crazy. So I want to have, you know, contracts in order. I want to be in production for at least a couple of projects at the same time, because I believe in efficiency. Mm-hmm. I really would just love to, like, have all of the things that I don't have yet in order. I want it to be more professional. I want a company. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want my brand to be, like, so official that, like, to get me on the phone, you might have to call 2 or 3 people because it's a chain now.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want my mama to yell at me because she's like, why did I have to call 2 assistants?
Yeah.
I want that. Mm-hmm. I want their problems. Mm-hmm. But I really do. I want to have, like, you know, my own space for creators to create. I want to have my own show. I definitely want to have, like, my own, like, variety show.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just be able to, like, exercise, like, my drama muscle, my comedy muscle. And I want to, more than anything, be able to take vacation time and not feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
When you can take a day off and it's not, like, racing through your mind, all the stuff that you haven't gotten done, and you don't have the anxiety of, like, if I don't do it, it's never going to get taken care of. Having, like, a solid team.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to change my life. When I get the right team around me, because I'm such a solo, like, I'm a beast. Like, yeah. I take care of everything by myself because I know I'm going to get it done.
Mm.
I've given stuff to people, and I trusted that it was going to get done, and it did it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait till I have, like, a real solid team. Bless
Excuse
you.
Me. Thank you.
Yeah, like, And I want to have my own nonprofit. I do. I really, like, I've been thinking, you know, like, you don't really need the money first, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the way I want to do it, I want the money first.
What do you want to do with the nonprofit?
Like? I want to be able to, like, take care of young women and, like, especially, like, women with families that are, like, impoverished. I want to be able to help single moms. Like, you know, I've done a couple of Skid Row things where, you know, we've gone out and handed out stuff, but it just don't feel like doing enough to just hand somebody something for once. I want to be able to, like, really help people get back on their feet and get to a place where they can take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is, like, the ultimate goal. You're doing all of this stuff. You know, if you can't reach back and touch somebody and really help, then I feel like you're just selfish. You ain't doing it for the right reasons, you know?
Right.
I really want to be able to, like, be a part of the community, like, help out.
Mm.
Awesome. Like, no Hollywood stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know when you do events, like, people want to have their face on the flyer and they want to be in the video. Mm-hmm. And, oh, we're helping feed the homeless. Like, that's cool. Like, I ain't going to say that's not because it gets more people involved. But, you know, some days where you don't have to post it. You know what I mean? Like, there's some days where you just go and take care of business. And those are the days that I'm really looking forward to. That, like, having an organization that is really taking care of people. Mm-hmm. That's me dope.
Yeah, that is pretty dope, man. I wish you much success with that.
Thank you.
Okay. Tell me, let me just say this first. Would you want your daughter to be in comedy? And if so, would you support it?
I don't know if comedy is where I would want my daughter to be at.
Why not?
It, for a young woman, I know it sounds crazy. It's like, it's not, it's 2019, like, you know, you don't expect it to be like that, but comedy for a woman, it's difficult, you know? We're still breaking a lot of barriers down, and we're still doing, excuse me.
What do you think the most difficult part about being a female in comedy is?
Dad, if you watch this, my bad. We have a vagina.
Mm.
And, like, no matter what you say, a vagina is top on the list of priorities and needs in the world. Like, it's right up there with water. And it can be distracting to people. And, you know, it can be distracting to other women. It becomes like a, you know, there's too many vaginas in this room kind of vibe. And once we get past, like, that, it'll be a lot easier. A lot of women out here are funny. They are hilarious. A lot of women are pouring out their hearts and soul into this grind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really, like, I know that there's a room down in San Diego that's all women. And it's all women entertainers. And I just met the booker for that show. And she was saying, it's crazy how many men she has to turn down for the show. They just want the one thing that they can't have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's insane because that's the only show I know that's just women, just all the time, just women. They have, like, an all-lady show out here, but sometimes they have male on it. But this is, like, a all-exclusive women's situation, and it's so crazy how exclusive that is.
Mm.
And, like, men, y'all got everything.
Yeah.
Can we get one? Like, it's crazy. Like, being a female in entertainment, period, you know, even when I was just acting, it's a hard road, you know what I mean? I would love for my daughter to model. She's gorgeous. I would love for her to model, and I would be, like, her momager and support all that. She want to act. I support all that. Comedy is hard because the way comedy is set up right now, you know, I spend a lot of time in comedy clubs until they close down. And when they close down, I spend a lot of time networking still.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, I'm so blessed to have great comedians around me that make sure that, you know, they treat me like a little sister, like a little homie. And they make sure, you know, I get walked to the car safe, you know what I mean? They, like, text somebody when you make where you're supposed to be at. Don't be going to no little boy house. Go home. So, like, I'm very fortunate to have that. But I know some girls don't have that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And until, like, it becomes a different kind of vibe, if networking wasn't super as amazing and integral and important as it is right now, like, I don't know, sis, like, comedy, for my baby, I don't think I would want that. I would support it, though. I would definitely support it.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Well, I mean, as long as she'll get the support from you and your mom and your skills, you know, I think she'll be all right. you know, that's not, that's, I was just asking, I was just curious about that, you know, because it's like, you know, you're chasing this dream, you know, would you want that for your child, you know?
I mean, that's the great thing about, like, now that I'm doing it, mm-hmm. it won't be the same for her, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it there's no way, like, I'm working too hard, you know, she's gonna still have to work hard. If she wants comedy, she's still gonna have to work hard, but there's no way that, like, and I kind of think that's a problem with a lot of people, is that when they come up, they want people to do exactly what they had to do, and they want them to go through the exact same hardships. But the cool thing about, like, knowledge is that you can give it away for free, and it don't hurt you none. It don't take away how amazing and awesome you are. If you give somebody the game, it ain't gonna take no money out your pockets. Like, and that's really how I feel about, like, even, like, helping other content creators. Like, it's not going to hurt me to help you. Like, I want you to win, too. I don't want somebody going to win. Somebody going to win. I don't want no stranger. I don't know to win. I'd rather you win. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, I already, like, have it in my heart that, you know, my family members, my friends, my whoever it is, if we know each other personally, you don't have to beg me twice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to help you. As long as you're showing me that you want the work, I'm going to take the time out to make sure that you got it. Like, it's insane. Not to, right?
Right, that's no, crazy. I agree. You know, I'm all for helping people, you know. You know, where I'm from, it's like a lot of people didn't want to help people because it's like a crab in a bucket mentality, you know. But here, it's like, I was surprised on even, like, you know, A-list celebrities was willing to lend that hand, you know, where I was assuming it wasn't going to be like that because they was, you know, on their shit. But nah, not at all. Everybody was willing to help, you know what I'm saying, and get involved. So I was just like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is where I need to be.
Not everybody wants to help. You have a really good personality. Mm-hmm.
I try.
You really come at situations in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's super appreciated. I know when I met you, I just mm-hmm. like started being like, oh yeah, man, your podcast is so dope. Like, yeah, we should do this. Like, that's so crazy. But it's your energy. Mm-hmm. You attract something, and people want to be around people that are teachable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if I got some game to give to you, I can only give it to you if you're going to be receptive. And you have a very receptive personality. Mm-hmm. And you work hard. You can tell mm-hmm. that you work hard. Yeah. So, man, you keep that. That's what's pushing you into the right positions to meet dope-ass people and yeah. getting you working. Man.
So thank you for that, man. I try, man. All I can do is be me and head in the direction where I'm destined to be at. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But nah, but I wish you much success, man. I hope everything you're doing, I know everything you're doing is going to be successful, because it's like you got that energy and you want it bad enough. You know what I'm saying? You're surrounding yourself around the right people, and the method you're utilizing with stand-up and skits, I mean, that's right now, that's how the comedians are winning, you know, and you're doing both, you know, so it's like, just keep blitzing the market that way, and I'm sure God will see you the rest of the way, you know what I'm saying? But where can the people follow you and book you and see all your talented skits and work?
Well, I'm on everything. I'm under everything at Kali Scott. It's K-A-L-I. If you search Instagram and you just put if you put Kali Scott, and you do the little space, you know what I'm saying? Like, you looking for a name, that's going to be me. YouTube, same thing. Facebook, same thing. Twitter, same thing. if you want to book me, it's official, kalliescott@gmail.com. And you're going to be directly talking to me. So please, business only. Like, we will work something out.
Yeah, but if you go through me, you're paying that 10%. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas, Kali Scott. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. And we